Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and everything that was done for the Messiah will last, and everything that was done for the flesh will be burned as if of fire, as the scripture tells us this. And so he says, godly wisdom will lead a believer to prepare for the future. Of course, the unbelievers, they don't think about this. Because as far as they are concerned, they live life here for 80, 90 years and they go 6 feet under the ground and it's finished. As far as they teach or they think, they don't realize that it is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. They will have to be judged and cast into the lake of fire, rejecting the only answer for sin, Yeshua the Messiah, who paid for our sins when he died for us on the tree. But the believer, we ourselves failing the Lord much, but get the counsel of Shlomo, realize, if you are wise, that you need to discern the time and the season. Notice he continues in the second half of verse 6 and verse 7, and he says, a man who do evil will experience misery. He does not discern the judgment will come. I'm reading verse 6b and verse 7. It says here, therefore, the misery of a man is great upon him. And he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? You see, nobody can tell him anything because he, continuing in his path, he doesn't realize, he doesn't take to account that one day he will have to stand before the living God. And notice it says, the misery of a man is great upon him. That word for misery comes from the Hebrew word ra'ah, or another word is evil. For evil is so much upon his life. He continues with evil. He lives in this kind of lifestyle. He continues on in this way. And he is not discerning neither the time nor the season. He or she do not realize, one day I'm going to have to stand before God. I better make sure that I'm preparing myself for the future. And preparing ourselves for the future doesn't mean that we become goody-two-shoes. It doesn't mean that we all of a sudden become with halo over our head and we become so-called holy. It's when we're getting closer to the Lord and we submit to His authority and we humble ourselves before the Lord and we realize that we are helpless and hopeless and we need His assistance in our life, even as believers. That's the wise men or wise women who have godly wisdom. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, King Shlomo, HaMelech Shlomo, telling Israel, our people of old, that it is important to get godly wisdom because godly wisdom will instruct, will benefit you. It will help you to submit to the authority that be, and it will help you to realize and prepare yourself for the future. The future will come. Most of us know it from experience. How time in our life changed very quickly. We just talked, some of us, as we get older, we are no longer able to do what we did yesterday. It's as evident that we look at ourselves in the mirror, the way we looked 10 years, 20 years ago, and the way we look today, and we get shocked because we did change. And it wouldn't take too long, and we will have to leave this scene. I was just a few days ago in a funeral of a brother that was 90 years of age. But what a testimony he had by those that spoke about him, how he loved to minister the gospel. He loved to tell people about Yeshua. He was over 55 years married and he lived a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And he already, early in his life, he made a decision for the Lord Yeshua in his life. And he became a blessing. his grandchildren and great-great-children could speak about him so beautiful. It was such a God-honoring funeral service of a man that died, just passed away, the year of 90. But he did something for the Lord. He served the Lord. He ministered to God's people. He went to Africa there to minister to the believers there. And he was always a blessing, instructing them and helping them spiritually in their life. Led many to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He used his life. He was wise. He had a godly wisdom that assisted him in preparing for the future, because the future did come and the Lord took him home. And he must have heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So number one, godly wisdom will lead one to submit to the authority that be. Godly wisdom will lead one to prepare for the future. But now thirdly, in verses 9 to 13, godly wisdom, this is Ecclesiastes 8, verses 9 to 13, godly wisdom will lead one to arm himself against wrongdoing. Notice Solomon's observed in verse 9 that in this world under the sun, even the ruler can hurt himself. Even if you have an authority, if you are not watching it, and if you're not, as it says, arm yourself and be careful, you can hurt not only others, you can also hurt yourself. And I'm reading verse 9. He says, "All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time when one man rule over another to his own hurt." In other words, he's really kind of speaking to the rulers themselves. You might say to the boss, to the leaders, to the one that have an authority. How do you lead? How do you lead? Are you leading in such a way? Are you ruling in such a way that you ultimately not only hurt others, but you also hurt yourself? Is that wise? Don't you understand that your conduct, your behavior, and the way that you lead or you rule over others, you are only benefiting not only them, but also you benefit yourself. You honor the Lord. And if you don't rule well, you actually can hurt yourself. That's not ministry. That's not rulership. When you oppress those that are under you, when you harm others that are below you, even in biblical things, the Apostle Paul says, honor them that rule well. Give them double honor. To those among the assemblies who rule, who lead. They're not rulers who are like monarchs. They're just leading the assembly, the local assembly. They're the ones who we should honor and respect them and thank God for those of us that have benefited from others that have led us in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that they have been such a blessing. They ruled well. But it's not only there, because he's not only speaking about the local assembly. In this world, in your business, in your family affairs, in school, wherever a place the Lord gave you authority, at work, on the job, how do you handle those whom the Lord has given you to be over them in authority? He says, I noticed that under the sun, tachat ha-shemesh, here on earth, there is a time wherein one man rules over another, but he does it to his own hurt. Paul said, and I'll just read that verse in Colossians 4 and verse 1. It says, "Masters, give unto your servant that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Know how to lead, you know. And you know that King Shlomo said this, but he himself failed in that. And you remember what happened to his son Rehoboam after Shlomo died? And his son Rehoboam became the king of our own nation, Israel. You remember the people of Israel came to him and said, "Rehoboam, please take away some of the taxes that you are loading on our people. We're going to serve you, Rehoboam." So Rehoboam went in 1 Kings chapter 12. He went to the wise men to get some counsel from them. The wise man says, "You know, Rehoboam, do it. Listen to the people. Don't overtax them. Don't put too much pressure upon them." And then he went to the young man, to his friends, to his buddies, and he said to them, "Hey guys, what do you think we should do? And this young man said to him, no, make it even harder for them. So he came and he gave the Israel this answer, and the people of Israel said to him, the 10 tribes, to your own tent, O Israel. And that's where the division of the kingdom of Israel began. 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam lost 10 tribes of Israel who did not want his leadership anymore, and they have raised to themselves another leader by the name of Jeroboam. Now we have Rehoboam leading Judah and Jeroboam leading Israel. You got a divided nation. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, how many a time in even the spiritual leadership in local churches, local assembly, leaders, because of the manner in which they conduct themselves, they are actually ruling in such a way that it is really to their own hurt. He lost 10 tribes. Israel was divided. Friction between the nation. Had he listened to the counsel of his father Shlomo, he would have not lost this kingdom. But of course, Shlomo had departed himself from the Lord, and his son continue on in this pathway, and Israel, our people of all, was divided. And what about the church, the assemblies? Look around us. I think we talked about it earlier in our meeting. There are over 3,000 and something groups of people, division that existed, and everyone mentioning the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, but they're all divided. Yet we know that biblically speaking, there is only one body, and that body is a composition of all believers in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Every saved person is part of the body, and yet there is division that exists in today. Sad to see. And so he says in verse 9, you know, I notice, I observe that in this world, that is full of vain, full of emptiness, he says, a man can rule under the sun, and there is a time wherein that one man that ruleth in a wrong way, he actually hurting himself. In verse 10, he says, listen, the wicked rule will pass away, and eventually, ultimately, he will be forgotten. In other words, if we are living under a government or under rulers that are not right, not good, not right leaders, he says in verse 10, you know, I saw that the wicked is buried, whom have come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also emptiness, vanity. In other words, you also see that those who rule here in this world, that eventually if they are wicked, if they don't rule right, you know, it doesn't take too long and they depart. And nobody remembers them. They're gone. They haven't done anything for God. They haven't done anything for themselves. They haven't done anything for others. They come and go, as he says in verse 10, they come and gone, come and gone. God remained the same. Yeshua, Jesus remained the same. But those wicked ones who ruling wrongly, they come and they go. They come and they go. And as it says here, they forgotten in a city where they had so done. They are ultimately are being forgotten. So it is important for us to realize that if we are going to be able to discern how to handle situation, even when we are in leadership and authority and so on, godly wisdom will lead us to discern or to arm ourselves in not doing the wrong things. Let me just for a moment remind you, remember the rich ruler in Luke 16. You remember Lazarus, Eliezer, and the rich man. Lazarus died and he was carried to Abraham's bosom, Yeshua said. The rich man died and he was buried. And we read, Yeshua said, and in hell, he lifted up his voice and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for I am tormented here in this place. Send Eliezer to my family. I don't want them to come into the very same place that I am there. And you remember what Father Abraham said to him? They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. They have the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, they have the Word of God. If they don't listen to the Word of the Lord, how they will listen even one comes out of the dead? That's why it is important to realize the wicked one who reject God, they are coming and they are going. And they are not remembered anymore. But believe me, when you look at scripture, biblical scripture, we always seem to talk about men and women of God, Abraham and Isaac and Yaakov and Moshe and David and Shlomo and Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. And we can go New Testament, Matityahu, Marcos, Lucas, Yohanan, Shaul, Paul. We always read about them because they were sinners, that they were forgiven, but they sought to live their lives for God here on earth. They were what you call the men and women, Deborah, Dvorah, we can remember her. We can remember even Rachel and Sarah and Rivka and even Ruth HaMoaviyah and even, of course, Rechab, Rachav, who have turned to the God of Israel. Those people we remember, they were sinners who were forgiven. But those that reject the ways of the Lord, we don't remember. We hardly read about them and even remember them a little bit. We always remember them for their evil doing. They are not benefiting those that follow the Lord. We only learn from them how not to walk in that way. Notice in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet chapter 8, the unwise men think that because judgment is delayed, that they can carry on and live like that. Notice verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know how true it is, beloved brothers and sisters? Because God did not judge us this moment, we think, oh, wait a minute, it's okay. I can continue in my own way because judgment didn't come right now. But they don't realize the judgment will surely come because the judge sees all things. Abraham, our father, used to say, shall not a judge of all the earth do right? He will surely do right. And Shlomo is saying, unwise man who doesn't have godly wisdom think that because judgment is delayed for a season, the judgment will eventually not come, and they are mistaken. Because judgment will surely come in due time. In verses 12 and 13 of this 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, even if outwardly the sinner continue in prolonging long days, yet it will only be well with the wise who fear God, and with the wicked it will eventually not gonna be well. Shlomo is saying to our people of all, the people of Israel, he says in verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But, verse 13, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. Why? Because he fear not before God. Enenu yere milifnei Elohim. He does not fear God. And so Shlomo is instructing Israel and he's saying, listen, are you going to arm yourself against evil doing by realizing the judgment will surely come? And if God seems to not judge immediately, don't think for a moment that in due time God is not going to deal with those that continue on persisting in their evil way. And I thought of what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Peter said, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved brothers and sisters, even today we may ask the question, Lord, already 2,000 years since Yeshua the Messiah was born and lived and died and rose again and went to heaven. 2,000 years have passed by, Lord. Why is it that you're not coming already? Look at the mess and the chaos that is existing here in this world. And Peter says, the Lord is long-suffering. Can you imagine, had the Lord came before you and I got saved, would you and I have hope? But the Lord is long-suffering. He delayed His judgment. He will bring it to pass. But He delayed it because He wanted more to come in. More to come in. And He wanted the people of God to walk with Him, to take another step for God here in this sad world. The Lord is not slack concerning judgment and His promises. He will surely bring them to pass. But thank God that He delays the judgment a little so we will turn back to Him, so we will repent and turn back to Him. I'm continuing here now, beloved brothers and sisters. Finally, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, in verses 14 to 17, godly wisdom not only causes us to submit to authority, not only lead us to prepare for the future, not only arm us for not doing wrong, not practicing wrongdoing regularly, but also godly wisdom will lead one to endure this vanity of life, to endure what's going on here in this world, because there are certain things we can change. And we need to learn to endure it. And to do the right thing here in this world. And finally, look at this, what he said in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Notice verse 14, Solomon observed the wrong that is upon the earth. He said, there is vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be a just man unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, he said, there is a wicked man to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this is also vanity. He says, I don't quite grasp it. The righteous man seems to receive evil, and the evil man seems to receive, you might say, good things. Something seems that I can't fathom that, King Shlomo is saying to Israel. Notice, I wanted to know this. I don't quite get it. Things happen, the way they happen here in this world seems to be unfair. He already mentioned it in chapter 7 and verse 15. All things I have seen in the days of my vanity, there is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongs his life in his wickedness. You notice that he already said this before. I don't quite get it, but I discern that this is what's going on here in this world. And so in verse 15, Solomon counseled the people of Israel to be thankful and enjoy what God had given to us here and now, to do it as unto the Lord. And he says in verse 15, then I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. Notice that it's not only really having party. What he's really saying here, for that shall abide with him of his labor, the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. In other words, what he's really saying, we do not know what's going on and how things are happening here in this world, but one thing we can do is to thank God for the food, thank God for the drink, thank God for the fact that He had given us what He had given us, and to celebrate this, to be thankful for this. This has been given to us by God here. God gaveth this to Him. 1 Timothy tells us God gave us all things to enjoy, but to do it with Him, not without God. And he concludes, beloved brothers and sisters, the advice that he gave Israel and to you and I, that godly wisdom will teach us that men cannot find out all the reason for which the Lord allow here to happen under the sun. We do not know all things. And let me just read those verses, verses 16 and 17. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, he said, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And you know what the conclusion of Shlomo was in this chapter? Is that really we do not know why God allows certain things in our life. But we do know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul closed this chapter and he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him that it shall be recompensed unto Him again?" Shaul is saying, Paul said in verse 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And that's how he concluded this. Eventually he said, listen, we do not know why God allows things to happen to us in such a way in our life, but we do know that God is in authority and He allows this godly wisdom to enable you to submit to the government, to prepare for the future, to arm yourself from doing that which is wrong, and to endure the sad, the vanity that existing here in this world. That is the counsel that Shlomo is giving Israel, but he also giving it to you and me today. Can we say amen?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.